of our five-week series called Forgotten Virtues. And tonight's virtue is integrity. I don't know if this ever has happened to you before. I hope you are recording, Nigel. But I read the story of integrity the other day, and I thought it was pretty good. This guy went to the shop to get some bread and milk, and when he paid at the cashier and he got his change, he actually got a lot more than what he bargained for. But he didn't realize it then. He like walked to the car and got in the car and then checked his change. He was like, cool, free bread and milk. But before he could start the engine, his integrity kicked in and he decided to walk back to the cashier. And he told her, hey, you gave me some more change than what I bargained for. And she was just over the moon. Her eyes were filled with tears and she said, I can't believe you brought back the money. Thank you so much for doing the right thing. And after I read that story, I just felt that it was quite tragic that we are more shocked in this world by integrity than by the lack of it. We are more shocked when people do the right thing than when people don't. Almost every day when we watch videos on social media and Facebook and even read the news, we notice story after story of lack of integrity. And so as we unpack our main text tonight, I would like us to quickly work on a definition of integrity in your groups, if you don't mind. Quickly work on how you would explain to somebody what integrity is all about. Go ahead, I'll give you 30 seconds and counting. At the back with D. What do you think? Awesome. I like that. I hope you didn't read my notes. It's right in there. No. That's good. Anyone else? That table over there. Honesty. Okay. Table in front. There was honesty for the recording. Honesty. Yeah. I'll repeat it now. It's in my notes. Doing the right thing even when no one's watching. Liz's table? It's exactly what you said. Watch the teenagers pull the same line. Come on, your definition? The right and the honest thing. Cool. Did they vote you in as the spokesman? Good job, Joe. And John's table? Awesome. The ability to respond truly with no fear. All right? And then for the recording, integrity is when your private life matches your public life. The Cambridge Dictionary defines it as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. It's when your behavior, the outside, matches your beliefs on the inside. Yes, integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. It's different from your reputation, though. Your reputation is what other people think. Your integrity, or the lack of it, is who you really are. It's when your behaviors line up with your beliefs. And so the question tonight is that we're going to try and answer is, how do we do this? How do we live a life where our behavior matches our belief every single time? How do we ensure that when we say as Christians that we love God and we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, that our actions match up with our beliefs? And we firmly believe that the only way we can get that right is by following God's word. And Psalm 119 verse 105, if you're taking notes, we should all know this off by heart, is your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Friends, God's word is the key if you and I want to get this right. If you and I want to make sure that our beliefs line up with our actions, His word is the key in order for us to get that right. So let's look at a quick example of a life of integrity. If you've got your Bibles with you, please open up Psalm 15, or on the Bible app, it should be there already. Psalm 15. Anyone except John able to recite that off by heart? Come on. I hope you didn't get that. Okay. But let's read it together. Psalm 15, verse 1 and onwards. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right. Integrity. Speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Integrity. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Integrity. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord. Integrity. And keep their promises even when it hurts. Integrity. Those who lend money without charging interest. Integrity. And who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Integrity. Such people will stand firm forever. Keep your Bibles open or the app open, because we're going to go back to that text quite often tonight. In the psalm, David is thinking about the qualities needed if you and I are going to enjoy a close relationship with God. And here we must remember that a close relationship with God is not something that you can earn. It's a gift from God. And that gift was given to us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so what the psalm is all about is it's trying to teach us how we should live as people who accepted that gift of Christ. Because we've accepted that gift of Christ, we can now enter into a relationship with the Lord and therefore answer this question. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live in on your holy mountain? In the Old Testament, God and his presence was associated with a place, like the tabernacle and then later on the temple. But today, this verse refers to us being in the presence of God with a clear conscience and God being comfortable with our presence. And so this opening verse simply asks the question, how can you and I dwell in God's presence? And then from verse 2 onwards, we're going to answer that question. Verse 2 says, those who walk as blameless, who do what is righteous, who speak truth from their hearts. We know that no one in this room or on earth is perfect. No one is sinless apart from Jesus. But a person of integrity is one who owns up when they hurt somebody else, and as soon as possible, they apologize and make things right. When they do that, their walk is blameless. They do what is righteous. They walk with integrity. Their actions line up with their beliefs. Those who walk with integrity are those whose yes is yes and no is no. When they talk, what they say can be trusted. There's no exaggerating to make themselves look good, and there's no leaving out of the bad details because it might just hurt them. They always speak the truth from their hearts. Integrity. And that's just verse 2. Verse 3. Who can walk in the presence of the Lord? Those who have no slander on their tongues, who do their neighbors no wrong, who cast no slur on others. Now last week John preached on this. He preached on gossip. It's another word for slander, and it's also another way of saying when you slur upon someone else. When a person of integrity finds himself in a group where somebody is talking about someone else, a person of integrity, someone who wants to walk in the presence of the Lord all the days of their lives, would say, hang on to the group and say to them, let's wait for the person who you are talking about to come here and defend themselves. And if the group carries on waddling about that other person, a person of integrity would remove themselves from that conversation. Because in that moment, that person will broadcast a message to the rest of the group that that person would never ever talk behind our backs. And so friends, if you find yourself in that situation, challenge the gossip, because you yourself want to walk in the presence of the Lord and he cannot be in that conversation. And on the flip side of the thing, if you have a problem with someone else, take it up with that particular person. Don't poison the fruit tree or spread bad rumors about them. Rather, deal with them in person. Integrity. And in case you're wondering, there's more in the text. Verse 4 says, a person of integrity is those who despise the ways of those who are vile, but honors and fears the Lord. They keep their oaths even when it hurts. This could look to many as a definition of self-righteousness, holier than thou, but it's not. This refers to a person of integrity in that everyone knows what he or she stands for on a particular matter. It's not being holier than thou. It's just you stand for what is right, and you stand for it at all times. They will always reject what is wrong and embrace what is good. No one will come to them with a bribe because they are known as a person of integrity who never accepts it. A person of integrity are people who, when they have made a commitment to go to a party, they stick to that and they don't dodge it when the next better offer comes on the table. They'd rather commit to that first one at all cost. That's integrity. And then the last verse, and then we're going to unpack the how-to tonight. The last verse says, those with integrity do not lend money to the poor. They lend money to the poor without interest and do not accept bribes against the innocent. Now, for most of us, you would say that's absolutely crazy. In our modern-day society, who lends money without interest? But that's not the principle here. The principle is that a person of integrity will not take advantage of those who are vulnerable, but rather, just like Jesus, they will champion the cause of the vulnerable. Whoever does all these things will never be shaken. Most people would say, man, that's a tall order. When we look at our lives, that's a really tall order. Can we do this? Friends, quite honestly, no, we can't. The only way you and I can even attempt to live up to Psalm 15 is when we allow Christ to live it in and through us to the glory of God. Because I'm sure if we're really honest with ourselves tonight, that every person in this room would say that they've dropped the ball of integrity sometime in their lives. And if we read Psalm 15 and we measure up our lives, there's very little hope for us. But when we look at the life of Christ and we measure that life up with Psalm 15, it's a perfect match. And so how do you and I live out Psalm 15? We don't. But we allow Jesus to. He's the only person that's been able to live a life of complete integrity. He was tempted for 40 days. After 40 days, he was tempted. He was starving, and he was tempted with food. So just imagine yourself not eating for 40 days, and in my case, someone brings Marcel's ice cream right in front of me and says, Jan, here we go. It's all yours. God provides, doesn't he? Jesus didn't do that at all. Even when he was tempted in the most dire situations, his principles remained. He held strong to his faith and his beliefs, and his actions proved it. Where he was promised all the riches of the world, and I know that some of our teenagers had this talk 2 weeks ago, and they struggled with this, but he was promised 60 billion rand and all of the other riches. What did Jesus do? He remained committed to his relationship with the Lord and said, no, thank you. Even more so, he said, Satan, get away from me because you will worship God alone and not the God of money. He remained faithful to his principles and his actions proved it. And so friends, if you and I wanted to be people of integrity, it doesn't matter what the offer is on the table. If we allow ourselves to just draw close to Christ, he will remain consistent for us, in and through us, to the glory of God. And so what can we do to live out Psalm 15? We must completely surrender our lives to Christ. And in so doing, we will slowly become more like him. And there's only one way we can do it. Luke writes it like this. Whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus says, must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Here Jesus is saying that if you and I want to become people of integrity, we must deny ourselves daily, die to our will, and follow the will of God. In so doing, we'll become more like him, and he will live in us to the glory of God. His principles will become our principles. His actions will become our actions. And it will be a lot easier to walk this daily life to that extent where others see your actions and they go, wow, those Christians are truly people of integrity. Friends, even try this in the morning. Wake up. The first thing you can say is, good morning, God. Today, I surrender all to you. The more we surrender our lives to Christ, the more he will live in and through us. And then hopefully, he will start countering in and through you this phrase Mahatma Gandhi used, and it's still often used today. I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Friends, so many of us have turned our backs on so many people have turned their backs on Christianity because of our lack of integrity, because our actions sometimes completely contradict what we believe about Jesus. And so tonight, let's start turning that tide. The only way to turn that tide is to surrender our lives to God completely. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to be a bit honest with yourself. Have a look at your own life. Ask God to inspect your actions in just the last week. And it could be that there were moments in this last week where your actions have contradicted your beliefs. Where people have labeled you a hypocrite instead of an integrous person. Tonight, take this opportunity and ask the Lord to forgive you. Wipe your slate clean. And mold you tonight, one step at a time, as you surrender your life afresh to him tonight. Mold you into a person of integrity. So that when others see your actions and they hear the way you speak, they would indeed give glory to God because they see him working in and through you. And hopefully more and more people will turn to Christianity than away. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together.